Luke 19. Well, we're going to take it. Well, let's look at the word, and then we'll take a side clip. In verse 45, it's when he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought. The word is, I didn't look the word up until last night, but it means to cast out with violence. And then that started me thinking about other things. So let's go to, I want to take a side trip on, we're going to talk about casting off a minute. Let's go to, where did I say, John 12. There's one verse. Now is the judgment of this world. This is Jesus.
Who are you?
John chapter 12.
What was the verse? Though? You started to read, but I don't know the verse.
Verse 31? Didn't I say that? No. Oh, I'm sorry.
There.
Now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of the world, of this world, be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This said he, signifying what death he should die. The prince of this world is now cast out. That was 2,000 years ago. He was cast out with violence. Then why are we all, why is the world still talking about Satan? He was cast out with violence.
What happened 2,000 years ago?
The prince of this world, which is Satan, it says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
That happened 2,000 years ago?
Right.
At what event?
At his crucifixion. And then that, and I mean, if that's not what it says, I mean.
That's what it says?
That's what it says?
That's what I hear.
And so, there's two things. One of the things when I was looking for a church when I first was converted, I heard it over and over again. We just want to lift up Jesus. You know, they're just talking about we're lifting up Jesus. Well, now if I be lifted up from the earth will draw men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Doesn't that seem a little strange to say you're lifting him up? Except if you agree that you crucified him, then you're lifting him up. But anyway, Matthew 12 now. I want to talk about this. This is why something is critical here. Matthew 12. Verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb, blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Then will he spoil his house. Now, had Jesus not cast out Satan 2,000 years ago, we would have had no potential, we would have had no possibility of this mystery of God, of Christ in us, the hope of glory. So he had to cast out, listen carefully what he says, how else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then will he spoil his house? He had to bind Satan before he could enter you as the house of God, the temple. So you're the little demon, the little evil one, that's your brain. The only power he has is Jesus' humility. He's not, boom. He's taking the lowest seat as usual. Does everybody understand what this, how important this is?
So that makes us minions?
Huh?
That makes us minions, and our father the devil has been
defeated.
Defeated.
That's what the human race is minions.
And yet we have been crucified with Christ.
If you kill him, if you're buried in baptism, but if you resurrect yourself, you're not crucified, and does he any good? He has the power to resurrect himself. He can be healed from his deadly head wound. And he looks for every opportunity to do that. So it's not by words, it's by repentance, always. And we must come to the first thing of a disciple. We must abandon ourselves, deny ourselves, give no thought to ourselves. Otherwise, we resurrect the evil one. We empower him. Or he empowers himself, he's masquerading as us. Isn't that what this says?
Yeah, this is like this activity of casting out the demon was like announcing that I'm here.
He's here.
And it's you're doomed. And, you know, and then at the cross this was accomplished, and at the resurrection it was sealed, it's done, and you know, and in us that's the only reality.
Amen.
Just to know that.
But unless we allow him to resurrect himself.
Yeah.
Does anybody else see the importance of this? Satan's defeated. Cast out violently. His minions are you and I, and the world, human beings. And their purpose now is totally different. Their purpose now is to provide the antagonism for the testing of the mind of Christ, to see whether or not you'll let the mind of Christ continue in you or you return to your own mind.
So Satan is defeated, but I'm a servant.
you use your mind for any reason.
Any reason.
Then you've allowed him, masquerading as you, to resurrect himself.
So in a 24-hour period, are you Christ 12 and Satan 12? Or how do you figure that?
It depends on whether you've abandoned yourself or not, whether you've denied yourself. Okay. The minute you stop denying yourself, the minute you give thought to your world, then you've resurrected him. That's the only way the test, that good and perfect will of God, could be tested. That's what the renewal of the mind is about.
So we can walk in him, and in that place, which is now eternal, the test will come to draw us away.
To cause you to try and do anything to return to the evil one.
That is the test. And yet we don't have to buy into it. We can.
But every time you've used your mind for any reason, then it's already happened. He's already resurrected himself, because he does it by the use of his mind, really, which he thought is your mind. If you repent,
you see it.
That's why repentance is it's almost continuous, because he's so subtle. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. He'll cause you to think you're having heavenly thoughts, but in the next instant, it will be something about this world, without any warning.
Yeah, that scripture in Colossians, which I found the other day, I was looking for it, about as you began in him, so walk in him.
Like
you began in him at this place where you were forced to repent, because you're at the end of your rope, and that's where we need to stay. And that would be continual repentance, because that's where you started.
As you received him, so walk you in him. Colossians 2, I think. But there are a jillion scriptures like that. Ephesians 2. You had no choice, but everything you did, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's what your mind does. That's every man's mind. But each of us think we have a separate individual identity. No. We are walking according to the, we're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. That's what his minions do. That's the fruit of the fall. Let's look at those two just real quick. Go to Colossians 2 so we can see it.
On that point, the prince of the power of the air has been defeated. So
but your mind is still walking according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the only thing it can do, because it was the agency for bringing him in anyway.
But there's no power there.
Except you give it.
Yeah, if you buy into it.
If you use your mind. Okay, let's go to
Colossians. Is that where we're going?
Colossians. Well, it's not the one I thought it was. Yes, it is. In verse 6, chapter 2. As you received him, so walk you in him. I'll bet you that's in that perfect tense, too. It means it's past completed and you continue in it. Let's look at, now let's go back to Ephesians. Just before Philippians, Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, chapter 2, verse 1, who were dead in trespass and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who's rich, etc., he then, we were saved. But you can't return to the thing that was you destroyed. Otherwise, you make yourself the transgressor again. Again, this can't happen. I want you to hear this. This can't happen until you see that your mind is empty and vain and meaningless and will never be your friend. As long as you think you can do something by the use of your mind, something that you think is valuable, then you can't repent. You can't leave it. You'll have to use it during the day to whatever you do. But once you see the emptiness and stupidity of yourself, especially, but of all the world system, then repentance is as automatic as breathing. But if you continue to give breath to the world, give importance to the world system by whatever means they use in the world, if you know, again, I say unto you, if you are on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's the bottom line. But again, thank God, he's rich in his mercy. He's allowed time so none of us would perish, so that all would come to repentance. Again, you will dance on the words I speak, and you will run around them trying to find any exception if you still think that the world system has some value to you. Because you can't see that it's nothing but vanity, empty, fruitless. Because you still believe that some part of it has some value to you. And so when you do that, you got to continue doing it until you see the emptiness of it. But as long as you're still giving importance to your mind, you know, just like every other Gentile, if you think you have to, then as I said a million times, maybe not a million, but at least 1,000, take the lowest seat and say, Father, I don't know what else to do. But don't justify it. Don't justify using your mind. Abandon yourself. Take no thought for your life. These are hard sayings. There's no question.
You'd think that, you know, like in Colossians, where it's, you have to stay in this position that you began, and you'd think you'd be getting better, and you wouldn't have to do that.
Right.
But that's the hallmark of the kingdom is living in this place of repentance.
But it's also the hallmark of Christ's walk after the cross. He was always tempted to use his mind. As Son of Man. As we saw, 3 times he started to, and then he repented. He did nothing of or from within himself. As he is in the world, so are we. There's a whole bunch of scriptures about he did nothing of himself or from himself. we have to be in that same position. Or you can, you know, oh, God really blessed me. He gave me this thought. You know, it just happened to be the same thought you had. But to make all men see what is this mystery, which has been hid from ages and generations, including this one, that it's Christ in you, the only hope of glory. And for him to be in you, you must stay dead. You must stay buried in your baptism. And I'll say you must do that till hell freezes over, because that is the way of a disciple. Otherwise, you will never be able to continue with him in his test. You'll be so consumed with your own test, you won't continue with him in his test. I think I went off subject again. But I wanted you to see that the prince of this world has been already cast out. Now he was destroyed violently. But his minions, his people, his your mind, my mind, still, if it's you have to return to that state of innocence, except you be converted and become as that little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. This is what the preaching of the cross is: your death. But you can't, it can't happen until you see the emptiness and vanity. If you don't see that, then you'll use every means possible to justify what you're doing. And that's fine. But don't think just by words you're going to... It's a... can repeat, I'm crucified with Christ, I'm crucified with Christ. When we first started many years ago, there was this guy, and he just walked around saying, I was crucified with Christ, I was crucified with Christ. Well, if he was crucified, then stop resurrecting him.
I vaguely remember something about that.
A guy that was a business partner of somebody in the room.
Something like that, yeah.
I don't feel like talking. Anybody else? Any response?
Well, it's, you know, said it, we're his workmanship. And it's like, it's a good thing we're not our own workmanship, because we'd screw it up.
Right, and we would. Okay. But again, the only way we reveal his workmanship is by our repentance. Otherwise, we run around and say the same things the prosperity gospel says. I'm his son. I'm his workman. He made me. I'm his workman. I am the workmanship of God. Well, you forgot something. You forgot the fall. All right. Take a big guy.